Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. It's good to be back with you. I was here for your carol service. It was already a couple months ago, but it is good to be with you. Passage Baptist Church does greet you. Shane gave his best. Brendan gave his best. Also, we just are praying for you, and so just know that. We are in this gospel work and ministry and life together, which is a joy. I'm going to read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 48 says, "Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, and the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." Now let's pray one more time together. Father, we just trust you as we look into your word that you would do a mighty work by your spirit, because we need you. We need you desperately. We thank you that, Father, you are worthy of praise. And so would your word bring you much praise this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know the feeling of coming home from a long trip? It's nice to come home from a long trip. We go back to the States every other summer. We need to reconnect with churches and individuals because we're here in full-time ministry and we have many supporters. And so we'll be there this summer for 10 weeks. It's a long time to be away from home, 10 weeks. And every time we come back home to Ireland, there's that sweet anticipation of coming into your house, right? Your own space, your own furniture. The little ones are reunited with their toys that they haven't seen for a couple months. And then they're your own bed. To sleep in your own bed is just a sweet, sweet joy. There's a safety, there's a comfort, there's a familiarity and joy in coming home. It's almost like the house is like welcoming you back in and saying, "Welcome home." This is a small taste. That feeling of coming home is a small taste of what the psalmist wants us to feel when reading or singing this psalm. That deep sense of joy found in the comfort and safety of home. As you know, the sons of Korah are writing these psalms as part of temple worship. Now, this psalm is focused on Jerusalem. It's highlighting the presence of God there among Zion. Mount Zion is the mountain that the city is built on, and Zion is another name for the city itself. Can you imagine the glory of the city in the height of Solomon's reign? We often think of the ancient times as just rural, but that's just not the case. Jerusalem would have been this breathtaking urban center. The wealth and prosperity that was present, the hustle and bustle of the nation through the city, the temple, it was at the heart of worship for the people. It would have been just splendor, and the majesty of it would have been amazing. It's the very presence of God in the midst of his people. I imagine if you lived outside Jerusalem and you were coming in for a festival, which would have happened several times a year, and there would have been great anticipation as you were walking towards the city, and you go over that last ridge and you see it there before you, this city on the hill. You knew that God was there. You knew that he's protecting your nation. He's protecting you. And he's moving things all according to his purposes. Mount Zion was a refuge. Jonathan showed you that last week. And this song was likely sung by those traveling into Jerusalem for festivals, longing for that refuge, that safe place that Zion was. And verse 8, if you look at verse 8, that's really the theme, the central theme of this psalm. It says, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. They have heard and seen. They have history. They have memories. This is the city of the Lord Almighty. But they would forget often, wouldn't they? They would need reminders. And so they would have songs to sing. And the sons of Korah wrote songs to sing, to remind them. And just like the people of God in ages past needed to sing and be reminded of the joy of God's comforting presence, we too need fresh reminders, don't we? We need fresh reminders to be glad in all that God has done for us. To be glad that God is with us. I want you to rejoice and relish this morning in the glory of God's presence in your life that's secured for you in Christ. Are you finding joy anywhere this morning? Where are you finding joy this morning? I want to show you four sources of joy from this psalm that you can fully and completely cling to this morning. First, you can rejoice because God makes you glorious. Jerusalem, in these first three verses, is painted by the psalmist as a stunningly beautiful city. It far exceeds the glory of the mountains of those pagan gods like Zaphon. So he's mocking them when he says that. The glory and the beauty of the city, though, it's not in the design. It's not in the bricks and mortar. It's not in the pillars. It's not even in the gold that probably was all throughout the city. It's not even because of the temple that was built there. It's the beauty of Zion is because it's the city of the great king. God is in her citadels, is what it says. The presence of God is there. He's there. He's moving. He's actively loving his people. The Canaanites didn't have this. Their gods weren't protecting them. Their gods were dead. Only Zion was where God had shown himself to be her fortress. It is on this city, in this city, that God has chosen to manifest his presence. And this city was glorious because of God's presence, because of his love on the city. Have you noticed how all parents think their babies are the cutest? That's right. That's true, right? We see other babies and we kind of judge the cuteness based on the standard set by our own kids. But let's face the facts. Not every baby can be the cutest. I mean, my children were the cutest. But why? Why do we often think that? Why do we think that our kids are the cutest? Right now, every mom in here is thinking, like, because my kids are the cutest. That's why. That's why I think that, because of course they're the cutest. I'd say that it's really our love that makes them beautiful, though, isn't it? It's the presence of parental love and affections that sears that cuteness into our hearts. And it was the Father's love for Jerusalem that made it the joy of the whole earth. Believer, God loves you. And because of his love for you, you are glorious. I'm not talking about physical appearance. Some of you are way beyond that this morning. Physical appearance and your glory. I'm not talking about just the outward that we tend to think about all the time. Christ is glorious, isn't he? If you are in Christ this morning, the presence of Christ in your life is glorious, just like Jerusalem. You will forget this, won't you? You need constant reminders of this. You need to preach the gospel to yourself. It is the love of the Father in Christ that makes us spotless, blameless even. Right? Ephesians 5 says that Christ died for the church to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jerusalem wasn't awesome because of how it was built. And friend, nothing we do makes us radiant. It's the blood of Christ and Christ alone that makes us glorious. Rejoice. Rejoice this morning that you are glorious in Christ. Secondly, rejoice because God protects you. Verses 4 to 7. The kings there in verse 4, they joined forces to attack Jerusalem. But when they saw the city, they fled. They fled in terror. Why? They were astounded, is what the scripture says. They were overwhelmed. Trembling seized them, and they could not advance on the city. Why? Because it is the fortress that you heard about last week. It is the city of the great king. It's untouchable. It's the city of the Lord Almighty. These kings fled, but that did not save them. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, they were destroyed like the ships of Tarshish. These were the greatest ships of their time. Strong and awesome were these ships. And they were laid to waste. They were shattered. By what, though? Was it strong artillery or bombardment that shattered them? No. Just an east wind from the Lord, like a flick of his finger. The greatness of the Lord that we see in verse 1 protects his mountain. And what God protects will hold firm. Are you on a firm foundation this morning? Brother and sister, God protects you. Rejoice in this. He protects you. There is no prince or king, physical or spiritual, that can ride against you and claim any victory. The king called doubt has no power over you. The king called condemnation flees, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, he's defeated. His lies will end, his reign will end, his influence will end. The king called sin was shattered on the cross. Sin has no power over you. Romans says that you are no longer a slave to sin. It is not your master anymore if you are in Christ. God shattered the ships of Tarshish. Do you believe that he can shatter your vices? Maybe you have old kings called bitterness that need to be crushed. What are you bitter about this morning? And maybe you have new kings called pride that need to be flattened. If you're angry this morning, you're proud. If you can't ask for help this morning, you're proud. If you think you know best, like I often do, you're proud. If you have a critical spirit, you are proud. If you refuse to listen to the God-given authorities in your life, you're proud. Someone has said that pride is a prison that perpetuates anger, hurt, and foolishness while keeping at bay the restorative effects of conviction, humility, and reconciliation. Maybe the king called control is rearing his ugly head in your life. Can you rest in the sovereign protection of the God who makes you secure forever, is what verse 8 says? What I love is that the east wind, just like the Lord flicked these ships with an east wind, the east wind of confession and repentance slays all these kings, doesn't it? 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Bring your sin to the cross today And then do it again tomorrow. And then the next day, and then the next day, and the next day, repent and believe the gospel again and again and again. These are the two steps of the Christian faith. Repentance and faith, over and over and over. Do you know how God protects you from these invading kings? He protects you, firstly, through his word. His word. You have the entire word of God. Truth protects you. Young people, your parents protect you. They do. Church, your elders protect you. These are all means of God's loving protection in your life. Rejoice that God protects you and gives you a means to victory over these kings in your life. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Maybe you're still dead in your sins. Maybe you have no protection. None. Are you defying the God of heaven this morning? Are you as bold as these kings to march against him? Your strength and boldness will be broken, just like these kings. Trust in King Jesus. Trust in King Jesus. He lived the life you can never live. He bore the wrath of God reserved for you. And he rose from the dead, defeating forever sin and death. Because in Christ, even the king called death will not break down the walls that are supported by the righteousness of Jesus. Death. Death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Paul asks those questions. You can rejoice this morning because God makes you glorious. You can rejoice this morning because God protects you. You can rejoice this morning because you can worship God. Look at verses 9 to 11. In verse 9 there, the writer moves our thoughts to the temple. It says, "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." The temple would be the center of worship. It's the temple that would have come to mind for any ancient Israelite who was thinking about God and the worship of his name. They would think about the temple. We're told in verse 1 that God is great. We're told in verse 8 that God is the God Almighty. In verse 9, we see that he has unfailing love. And we see in verse 10 that the name of God cannot be more famous. His character cannot be more righteous. In verse 11, we see that the entirety of Mount Zion is rejoicing in the justice that God brings. This God, who would make Jerusalem glorious and protect her from her enemies, also receives worship from his people there. Who are you to worship God? Who am I to worship God? Who are you to speak his name? Who are we to know God? It's like an ant being allowed to worship and serve you. What can that ant offer you? What can the ant give you that you don't already have? What can this ant bring before you to actually give you praise? Believer, I have good news for you this morning. You're not an ant. You are not an ant. We have already established that you are made glorious in Christ. In fact, you don't even need a temple in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians says that you are the temple of God. Let that sink in for a moment. If you're in Christ this morning, the Spirit of Christ lives in you. You can freely meditate on the unfailing love of God. You can do that. How? How can this even be? Because God himself wells up these thoughts within you. He wells up worship in your heart for him. You were dead, and he made you alive. Your heart of stone, he turned into a heart of flesh. You were far off, and he has brought you near. This is our God. Do you feel bored here this morning? Do you have a poor experience of God's love? Are you underwhelmed by the grace of God? Do you even like being here? Do you not feel like singing on a Sunday morning? Ask God. ask him to make the praise of his name reach your heart. The psalm says here that his praise reaches the ends of the earth. Surely he can ignite the very heart that he dwells in. Rejoice because you are made glorious in Christ. Rejoice because he protects you. Rejoice that you can actually worship the living God. And finally, rejoice because God gives you hope. We see this in verses 12 to 14. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers. The sons of Korah are imploring the people to take a tour of Zion. Tour, walk about her, look at the wonders of this city. But why? What purpose is that for? Well, verse 13 says to us, tells us, to tell the next generation. Verse 8, this theme verse, you've heard. You have heard. That's what it says. You have heard. But where did they hear? Well, they would have heard from the previous generation. If you're in this generation, what do you hear from? You hear from the previous generation. Who has seen, verse 8 says, as we have heard, so we have seen. Who has seen? Well, this generation has seen. This is the generation that's present now. Why do they need to tell the next generation about this wonderful city if that generation will one day see it? Like, why would you need to do that? What's the point in telling if they're just going to be here? Well, hope. Hope is the reason. We often don't see what's right in front of us, right? Or we forget. We forget what we've seen. Our family has a basket of memorial stones. We've written big events on them, important places, and even individuals on a little stone. I meant to bring one with me and I forgot. Just a little stone. Yeah. And every so often, for family worship, we'll bring out the basket, and we'll just kind of go through the stones together. Our marriage is on there, the birth of each of our four children, the churches we've been a part of, most recently for Valerie and Callahan and myself, our Irish citizenship is a big memorial stone for us. We tell stories that are connected to these stones, and we give God thanks. Why? Why would we do that? Well, Valerie and I want the next generation, our children, to see the majesty, provision, and protection of God. This stirs hope in our hearts. Great is the Lord, it says in verse 1, and most worthy of praise. So when we have to move house again, so we've moved house every 3 years for the last 20 years. When we have to move house again, because we're currently renting our house, so at some point we're going to have to move, we have hope that God will be with us because we've seen the evidence in the past and the present that God is with us. When we tell stories about my dad has a stone in our basket. He went to be with the Lord in 2019. We tell stories. It gives us hope for the future and strength to weather the storm of future bad news. Because we remember he was with us when Papa passed. Telling the next generation gives hope. Rejoice. Rejoice that God gives hope. Westside, listen, walk around this body. Walk around this body. Consider her towers. Consider her ramparts. Consider her citadels. The Lord is at work here. He's at work here. You could easily walk around Jerusalem in that day and age and look at the sewers and the trenches and the rubbish holes. I'm sure there were lots of them and places where it just stank. But the psalmist encourages the singers to look up. Look up, Westside. There is glory in the bride of Christ here. There is beauty, hope, and joy in what God is doing in hearts. I'm not saying to ignore the challenges and the sin and the mess of just living life together. I am saying don't miss the forest for the trees. The Spirit is at work. Rejoice. Rejoice. And a God that gives you hope. The psalm ends there, verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." God will guide you to the end. He will lead you forever. He will shepherd you until death on this earth, and then into life everlasting if you are in Christ. As was read so wonderfully from 1 Peter there, you have a new birth. You have a living hope, an inheritance that will never perish or spoil. You are shielded by the very power of God. Verses 8 and 9 there in 1 Peter 1. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." If you can't rejoice in the salvation of your soul, of being in the city that God makes secure forever, you'll never rejoice. You are glorious in Christ, believers. You are protected by the living God, who you are actually able to worship. And you can rejoice with hope this morning. You can rejoice with hope. So rejoice this morning. That's what the sons of Korah want you to do from this psalm, is rejoice in the presence and work of God here. Here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these rich psalms. We even sang some of this psalm this morning. Thank you that thousands of years later we can still sing your word, and that it matters. Father, I pray, Father, that you would well up joy in our hearts. Father, would we rejoice, God, that you are with us. In Christ, you are for us. You are not against us. And you make us glorious. We don't deserve that, God. But that's who you are. You love us because you love us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.